Greetings, gallant and gratuitous gamers, to yet another episode of the Daily Days Podcast, that retro show that follows both retro and modern roads. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble host on this grand trek backwards, and today we're straddling both past and present as I share my thoughts on the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie. A film that could have been a grotesque catastrophe, but instead proved rather decent? Anyway, I know I teased a Mega Drive mini-review last show, and that's still coming. It just takes a long time to play through 42 different games. But before Sonic's cinematic debut becomes too long in the tooth, let me take the chance to clear the air and share my mind about the Blue Blur's commercial comeback. This was not a movie that seemed all that promising in the beginning. In what will someday be considered the stuff of infamous incredulous legend, fans back in the spring of 2019 were greeted with an initial trailer that saw the hog speeding to the tune of Gangsta Paradise? A hog that, in an apparent attempt to make him more realistic, sported the lanky legs of a human sprinter, a mouthful of teeth not unlike George Washington's wooden dentures, and the upturned face and snaws of a possum. Naturally, viewers were horrified, and the film was declared an execrable failure long before even a second trailer aired. And then there were those contrarians who take great glee in this kind of train wreck, cackling to themselves about the film's supposed peril. And then, in a surprising spin, the movie's director, Jeff Fowler, announced he and his team had decided to redesign the Blue Dude after being inundated by fan anguish and anger. This meant pushing the film back from its original November release to February 14th, 2020. This was a postponement that disappointed no one, as many were just grateful for some lingering hope that their favorite mascot might be yet saved. Others simply shrugged or snickered, wondering why bother. This was a doomed venture to begin with. Well, skipping ahead, the movie has just topped the box office for its second weekend in a row, now currently sitting around an impressive US cum of $110 million, $200 for the world over. For a video game movie, that's big and puts the film in a nose-to-nose race with Warcraft and Detective Pikachu for highest-grossing film of all time. Whether it makes it or not hardly matters, considering the dumpster fire it was labeled as being just 9 months ago, this is a comeback any Sega champion would cheer. But now the film. It's doing well, but despite Sonic's redesign, is it really that good? The short answer is, sort of. Let's just say it's good enough. Indeed, even after viewing that initial spring 2019 trailer with the hedgehog of our nightmares rip-roaring across the screen, my main complaint wasn't so much with his appearance, but with the obvious formulaic nature of the plot the film was clearly following. As is the case with many of these mid-budget films based on cartoon characters and other exotic properties, a fish-out-of-water storyline was adopted here. Within the first few minutes of the movie, Sonic flees his lush world and escapes to our own for the rest of the tale. And speaking of tales, there is no dual-tailed fox here. Or Knuckles, Amy, or anybody, it's just Sonic and, soon, his best bud, Tom. a small-town cop hailing from Green Hills, Montana. From this point onward, we are entering spoiler territory, though, so be forewarned. Alright, so in this film, Sonic is a loner. After we're introduced to the dude in blue as a child, he's told by his inexplicable caretaker, an owl by the name of Longclaw, that he needs to hide from those who might desire his supersonic power for themselves. And sure enough, these power-hungry baddies, or should I say bad nicks, appear soon after, coming in the form of a tribe of echidnas who attack Sonic and Longclaw both, forcing the former to jump through a ring portal and arrive on Earth where he's been residing and hiding for the last 10 years. It makes more sense on screen, but the setup is still a strange one for anyone well-versed in traditional Sonic lore from the games, comics, TV shows, or really anything in between. And this Sonic, despite still being wry and confident, is also very lonely and young and happy-go-lucky. He's basically like a big kid or someone's overeager younger brother. Somehow, this new take works. It makes the alien likable by providing him with a surprisingly hefty amount of pathos and personal baggage. But it must be stressed, this isn't the Hedgehog as we know him from the games, nor is he the take-charge always in command superhero we've long seen him as. Yep, he's a lonely one, and for 10 years he essentially just lives by himself in the woods, spying on the denizens of Green Hills until he becomes so depressed he has a sort of hyperactive nervous breakdown that causes an EMP pulse. This catches the US government's attention, and by extension, Robotnik's. This is when the plot really kicks in, with Sheriff Tom forced to help Sonic evade Robotnik's armada of egg-shaped floating drones and other traps. Although Sonic adores Tom, it takes the human a little longer to feel the same for his little blue sidekick. And did I say sidekick? Yeah, as likable and generally entertaining as Sonic is, he often feels secondary to his human counterparts, as if he's fighting to be the star of his own film. But again, this is in line with the typical fish-out-of-water trope we've seen with other properties, including those other blue guys, the adorable Smurfs. Back in 2011, the little fellas starred in their own hybrid live-action animated feature, in which a handful of the creatures are also whisked into the real world, taken in by a reluctant hero-slash-guardian, this one played by Neil Patrick Harris, and who are pursued by yet another over-the-top outrageous bad guy, this time the dastardly Gargamel played by the hilarious Hank Azaria. And predictably, as the Smurfs are forced on the run again and again, they cause trouble wherever they go, much like Sonic does for his poor, put-upon friend here. But speaking of villains, Jim Carrey as Robotnik was an inspired choice, channeling the best of Carrey's antics from the 1990s into a maniacal mastermind who is already larger than life in the games. Carrey does a fine job here, and I'm pleased to see the Robotnik moniker return over the stupid Eggman nickname that has dogged the series now for years. But if I'm honest, this Dr. Robotnik is almost too insulting at times, berating everyone to the point of exhaustion. It's not really Carrey's fault, though, just how this version of the character is written. More than anything, though, this movie is definitely a loving homage to everything 90s. Sonic and Carrie are, of course, fixtures from that era, but plenty of other pop culture references abound from the decade, including Men in Black and Speed references, to plenty of video game nods and throwaway lines. I'm not sure how many of these Easter eggs younger viewers will catch, but it was a fine nostalgia trip for me anyway. In conclusion, then, is Sonic the Hedgehog worth seeing? Happily, I can say yes, although it's not the film I would have made. Playing it safe here was probably the wiser bet for the studio. The movie respects the games without ever losing itself to them, meaning this is first and foremost a fun and breezy family movie everyone can enjoy whether they are familiar with the source material or not. And I can't forget to note Sonic's redesign is quite good, giving the character an endearing cuteness I think he needs to succeed on the big screen. And even if he does seem maybe a little too cartoony at times, one only has to shudder at that initial trailer to remember how much worse things could have been. So, if you haven't seen the film yet, I say speed down to your local Cinemaplex and give The Blue Ball a few bucks. Paramount Pictures listened to fans and did the unthinkable, spending millions of extra dollars, bringing Sonic closer in alignment to what gamers wanted, and that, I think, deserves some golden praise. Thanks for listening, everyone. I will return next week for maybe that Mega Drive mini review if I can knock out all those games in time. If not, well, expect a great gamer's quiz. Either way, stay tuned. This is Mr. Picario, signing off for now.